God to me, that, you know, who is God? That's one of the toughest questions to answer. It just encompasses so much in my life and everything. It's the best way I can describe him is a comforter. And I can know that he's there for me when I need it, when I get nervous and things. He comforts me. It was a few years back. I was having trouble at work and in my life in general. You know, it was just a hectic time, and I didn't know where to turn. And a friend of mine had gave me a Bible and said, you know, try reading this. And I had Bibles, you know, most of my life and everything like that. And I told him, I says, you know, with all these these and thous and those, I couldn't understand it as well. I couldn't get into that type. This is the NIV version. He says, it's written different. So I took it home and opened it up. And the first verse I read was Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And that just hit me, that I can be me and know that God is there. And that's kind of how I see, that's, you know, the verse of my life. It's just be still and let God do his part. I don't have to do it for him. I know that when I make bad choices, and, you know, like everybody else, I do make bad choices once in a while. God doesn't condemn me. He doesn't, you know, throw me aside and say, you know, I don't need you anymore if you're going to be like that. He still loves me. He still brings me back to him. I just know that he's there in the back of my head, you know, saying, Todd, you know, that was dumb. Let's pick it up from there and then come back to me. That's kind of how I see God. He's always comforting me and always being there for me. My name is Todd, and that's who God is to me.
Wow, that is such a powerful snapshot of the difference that God can make in our lives when we come to know, really know who he is. Well, it's great to have you guys here today. You know, when things start, you know, kind of falling apart in our life, or maybe we're blindsided by something, or things are like just spiraling out of control in our lives, a lot of us, we tend to react to those kinds of situations in one of two ways. On the one hand, sometimes we just kind of shut down, and we just kind of give up. We start having a pity party, you know, woe is me, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. I can't believe this happened to me. And at times, we even become just kind of paralyzed by the situation, and there's just no motivation, and we find ourselves just kind of dragging through life. You know, I don't know what to do, so we don't do anything. But then on the other hand, sometimes how we react to that type of situation is we just start running 100 miles an hour. It's just go, go, go. We're determined that we're going to do everything we possibly can to try to control and bring our situation back into order. So we're going to try to control everybody. We're going to try to control everything around us. And in the process, what we end up doing is we just drive everybody around us crazy, and we wear everybody out, and we tend to drive ourselves crazy and wear ourselves out. But when we come to know God, and we come to that point where we come to understand more fully who it is, it gives us it helps us discover a better way to handle those kinds of circumstances in our life. When we don't grasp, we just don't understand everything that's going on around us. And so we're going to kind of talk about that today. Now, we've been in this series, Who is God, for several weeks now, and I can't stress enough that what I hope is happening in this series is not that you just get more information about God, that you get more facts about God. But what I hope happens is that you actually get to know God. And there's a big difference between knowing about God and actually knowing God. In this series, we're just scratching the surface. What I'm hoping will happen in this series is that this develops, this kind of stirs something up in you to give you like a hunger, this deep hunger to know God more fully and more deeply in your life. So that something gets stirred in you and you start living with this realization, whoa, what a God. And there's like this growing sense of wonder and sense of awe as to who God is. And so you want to connect more deeply with this God who cares about you, who loves you in your life. So man, that's what I hope will happen. And there will be these moments in your life where you are just blown away and taken aback by God. And you find yourself wanting, longing, hungering to live in the presence of God. So far in the series, we've talked about different aspects of who God is. We've talked about the omniscience of God, which is simply this big theological word that means that God knows everything. He knows everything there is to know about the entire universe. He knows everything there is to know about you and me. And part of what's so amazing about God is He knows everything about us, and He still loves you, and He still loves me. And then we talked about the omnipresence of God. And the omnipresence of God means that God is all present, that God is everywhere. And on a practical level, what that means is that wherever you are, wherever you go, whatever you go through in your life, God is always there. There is nothing that you will ever go through in your life that you have to go through alone. And we talked about the omnipotence of God, which means that God is all powerful. And what's interesting is that God wants to make His power, the power that enabled Him to create the entire universe, the power that enabled Him, allowed Him to bring Jesus back from the dead, He wants to make that very power available to us. So it's available. But we have to activate that power. And so we talked about what we need to do in order to activate the power of God in our day-to-day life. And then last week, Seth did this just amazing job. He just knocked it out of the park talking about the love of God, that God is this loving God. He is the author, the originator, the perfecter of love. And we can, because of that, we are able to live our lives knowing. You can know. Like know that you are loved by God. And when we live with that realization and we live experiencing the love of God in us, what happens is that love begins to overflow and it begins to spill into the lives of people around us. And today I want to come back to this whole deal, and I want to talk about another aspect of God. I want to talk about what theologians refer to as the sovereignty of God. And that word sovereignty simply means that God is in control. God is in control. God is sovereign, which means He is in control of everything. I want to start out by looking at some scriptures that talk about this dimension of God. Look at this, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. We're going to throw this up here on the screen. It says, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted," and then look at this, "as head over all." God is head over all. It's like God is in control of everything. And here's another in Psalm 33, verse 11. It says, "But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart through all generations." God's plans stand firm forever. Another verse, Psalm 115, verse 3, it says, "Our God is in heaven." And then it says, "He does whatever pleases Him." That is whatever pleases Him. God is sovereign. God is supreme. There is nothing that is beyond God's control. There is nothing that is beyond the influence of God. God is in control of everything because He is sovereign. Which means that even when things are out of my control, they're not out of God's control. Even when things are beyond your control, they are not beyond God's control, because He is sovereign. Scripture tells us that He is sovereign over nature. He sustains nature. He sustains the universe. So if he wants to override the laws of nature and do a miracle, guess what? He can override the laws of nature and do a miracle. It's his prerogative because he is sovereign. He is in control. He is sovereign over history. All of history is moving towards a focus. There is a plan. There is a purpose. There is a climax that all of history are told in Scripture. All of history is moving towards. But not only that, God is sovereign over our lives. God decided when and where you would be born. God already decided how long you're going to live. God has already decided. He decided the natural talents and abilities and gifts that you would have. You didn't earn the gifts, the talent. I mean, we get puffed up with pride sometimes about the abilities that we have. Oh, look at me. Look at the things that I can do. Look at how intelligent I am. God is the one who sovereignly determined. He gave you the talents, the abilities that you have. You didn't earn them. You didn't deserve those. God just gave them to you. And some of us, when we start hearing those kind of things, we start wondering, well, man, then you know, do I really have any choice? And do we really have any freedom? Do I have any freedom? And the answer to that is yes, but it's limited. Yes, there is. Yes, we do have freedom. You have freedom, but it's limited. There are guardrails. There are boundaries that God has set in place that we can't go beyond. We don't have total freedom. As human beings, we have the freedom of choice, but we don't have total freedom. There are limitations on the freedom that we have. Let me give you an example that may kind of help you out here. Let's say you were to play a game of chess with God. If you were playing a game of chess with God, you would have the freedom to make all kinds of different moves. You could move your pawn, your rook, your bishop. You could move all these different pieces and do all this different stuff. But ultimately, there would be no doubt as to who's going to win that game. God is in control. And God knows so much more than we do. Or here's another example. It may help you wrap your brain around this a little bit. Big concept. Well, let's say that you were to go on a cruise, like a transatlantic cruise from the United States to Europe. And you would get on board this big, luxurious cruise liner, this ship. And while you're on board the ship, you would have all kinds of freedom to do all kinds of different things. I mean, you could walk around on the first deck. You could walk around the second deck, the third deck. You could go to all these different fancy restaurants. You could watch movies. You could sleep. You could go swimming. You could play shuffleboard. You could do all these different things. You'd have all kinds of freedom. But in spite of all the freedom that you have, none of the freedoms, none of the things that you do are going to affect ultimately the trajectory, the ultimate destination that ship is going to go. You see, God gives us the freedom to decide how we're going to live in our lives. He gives us the freedom to choose how we are going to act. But once we decide what we're going to do, we don't have the freedom to determine what the consequences are going to be. It's like God has set things in motion, so when we do certain things are going to happen. We're going to reap what we sow. It's like God says, when you do A, then B is going to happen because God is in control. God is sovereign. So the big question then becomes, how does the sovereignty of God affect my life? How does the fact that God is in control affect my life on a day-to-day basis? And I want to look at this whole issue through three different filters today. Number one, the first thing that we need to understand is because God is sovereign, God's purposes always ultimately prevail. Because God is sovereign, because he is in control of everything, God's purposes ultimately always prevail. Now, as we look around at things, we may not always see that. In fact, we may look away, around at things, and we may think, and we may wonder, if we may question whether things are falling apart, because we look at things, and a lot of times it may seem that way. But the reality is, God is in control. There is a big plan that God is orchestrating that we don't always see. And we don't always understand, but history is a narrative of how our sovereign God is going to great lengths to make himself known and to reconcile us, humankind, to himself. God is constantly at work behind the scenes, often in ways that we don't see, that we don't perceive or fully understand, but he is working to redeem us, to redeem mankind, and to bring us to himself. Now, there's a fascinating account in Scripture of how this whole issue, the sovereignty of God, plays out in kind of everyday life. And so if you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn here to Acts chapter 27. Acts is in the New Testament. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts. And Acts, A-C-T-S, is the account of the acts or the activities of the Holy Spirit of God through his followers, through his apostles, and through the early disciples in the early church. And at this point in chapter 27 that we're looking at, we're going to zero in on the Apostle Paul. Paul had this life-transforming encounter with Jesus. Changes everything, the whole trajectory, direction of his life. And he begins to boldly share and tell others about the difference that God has made in his life and that he can make in other people's lives. And as a result of that, he eventually gets arrested and thrown in prison. He's put on trial. They're trumped up charges, and he realizes that they're just running through the motions, but it doesn't appear that he's ever going to be released because of the games that they're playing. And so as a Roman citizen, Paul was actually a Roman citizen. One of the rights that he had was the right to appeal his case to Rome and to actually stand before the Caesar, and he decides to do that. And so they ship him off on a voyage under the custody of a Roman centurion to Rome. And on the voyage, he's on this ship, and they kind of leave kind of late in the season for Rome, and it's already the storm season, and sure enough, things start getting kind of rough. And Paul warns the captain, he warns the centurion on the ship that they need to stop and winter, spend the winter at an island, and they kind of, what do you know about that whole deal? And so they proceed. And sure enough, they end up in the midst of this horrific storm, days on end in the storm, and they lose hope of surviving and even making it. And that's where we pick up in this account in Acts 27, beginning in verse 21. It says, after they'd gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete, the Isle of Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. Now, they're probably going, who are you? You know, who died and left you in charge? I mean, what do you know about sailing? Anyway, you're not the captain of the ship. But Paul goes ahead and he explains to him how it is that he has this insight. So it goes on in the very next verse 23. Paul says, last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And just pause right there. Here's the bigger purpose that is being played out. You see, the guys on this ship, the centurion, the captain, the others on the ship, they couldn't see everything that's happening. But God had a bigger purpose. God wanted Paul to end up in Rome in order for this life-transforming message to spread to Rome and beyond Rome. There's a bigger purpose that is being played out here. The angel goes on and says, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. And then Paul in the next verse 25 says, so keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. You see, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the chaos and the panic that is ensuing on this ship, there is a bigger purpose that's being played out. They don't see it. They don't understand. And at times in your life, in the midst of the storms, in the midst of the panic that you may be going through in your life, there is a bigger story that is being played out. So, if God's purposes always ultimately prevail, then what should my response be? My response should be to stop living as if everything is about me and realize that there is something bigger going on. We need to stop living as though everything is about me, as though the world, everything revolves around me. There are bigger things that are happening in the world. God is doing all kinds of things. God is a big, sovereign God who is constantly working in all kinds of ways that we don't see, that we don't fully understand. And the best thing that we can do, the best thing that we can do is join God in what he's doing. Because what he's doing, his purposes are ultimately what's going to prevail. You see, we can pursue success and happiness and fulfillment. We're not going to find those things. We're not going to find happiness or success fulfillment by pursuing those things. We're going to find success and fulfillment as we pursue God. As we get to know God. And as we join him in what he's doing. So because God is sovereign, God's purposes always ultimately prevail. Number two, because God is sovereign, my plans have a limit. Because God is sovereign, my plans have a limit. In other words, my plans ultimately are tentative. And so are yours. They are. I mean, how many of you ever heard the statement, the sky's the limit? Can I see your hands? Sky's the limit. Sky's the limit. Yeah, we probably all heard that statement. Some of you use that statement with somebody. Maybe it's something that motivates you in your life. But the reality is, the sky isn't the limit. God is the limit. He decides what the limitations are in our lives. And it's interesting, earlier in this account, the captain of the ship, I mentioned this, and the centurion that was guarding the Apostle Paul, they ignore the advice that Paul had given them. Did they have the freedom to do that? Yes, absolutely. They had the freedom to make the choices that they wanted to make. But God's plan wasn't going to be hijacked by their choices. There are limits to the plans that we have in our life. Interestingly, even after Paul tells them that all the lives of everyone on board the ship are going to be saved, some of the sailors decide that they're going to take matters into their own hands to try to control things. And isn't that what we try to do sometimes? And we see in God's word how he wants us to live our lives, what he wants us to do, and yet we decide, yeah, you know, I'm not sure that I'm going to trust God in that area. I better take matters into my own hands. I better try to control some things in my life. And so we take matters on. It goes on and it talks about that in verse 3. It says, in an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors, again, they're not sure about this God they're hearing about, so you're going to take matters into your hands. The sailors let the lifeboat that was on board the ship, they let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending that they were going to lower some anchors from the boat. They're really wanting to escape, but they're kind of pretending, telling everybody else that's what they're doing. The next verse 31, the Apostle Paul says, then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. So the soldiers, verse 32, the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. They're trying to sidetrack this bigger plan. They make their plans, but their limitations to what they're going to do. A little bit later, when the ship hits a sandbar and the whole ship starts cracking up, it's about to fall apart, soldiers decide to make a move and kill all the prisoners. Paul wasn't the only prisoner on board. They're going to kill him to keep them from escaping. But in that situation, God had a different plan. He had a different plan. You see, God gives us freedom, but when it interferes with his bigger, overarching plan, what happens is we start hitting roadblocks. Look at this passage of scripture. We're going to throw it up here on the screen. You need to look it up. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart. We have all kinds of plans, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Have you discovered that things don't always go the way that you had planned? I mean, at best, our plans are tentative because we can't see everything that's out ahead. So we can make plans. I mean, it's a good thing to make plans. But when we make plans, what we need to do is we need to stay flexible. Our plans need to be changeable because we don't see everything. You see, many times God has a better idea. And so at times God changes our plans. Have you ever had that happen? Have you ever had God change your plans? And let me just ask you, I mean, you don't need to raise your hand on this one, but how many of you did not end up marrying the first person that you thought you were going to marry? Okay, man, you were so sure this was the one, but God changed your plans. How many of you aren't in the career that you initially pursued, you thought that you were going to go after? In fact, you may have studied for this career, but you're no longer in that career. God changed your plans. There was a time in my life, I had heard that the garbage collectors in New York City made big bucks. So I was like, man, I'm all over this. As far as I knew, garbage collectors just worked a few hours in the day. And I was like, man, I can get this job. I can do this. Then I can do all kinds of other stuff. I am moving to New York City when I get older. Thankfully, God changed my plans. I was thankful for that. For a long time in my life, my plan was to be a medical doctor. That was my plan. God changed my plan. I went through a phase like a lot of guys who played sports or girls who played sports. I wanted to be a professional athlete. That didn't work out. That wasn't God's idea. When I sensed God leading me to start a church, my plan was to start a church on the West Coast, Oregon, Washington. God changed my plans. So we need to be tentative. We need to be flexible when it comes to our plans. So what's the wrong attitude when it comes to our plans? The wrong attitude is presumption. The wrong attitude is presumption. See, when I get to thinking that I don't need God, when I'm thinking that I can figure it all out, and I don't pray about anything, I just think I know what's best, that is presumption. Look at this scripture. We're going to throw this up on the screen. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. Says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. I mean, a lot of that's kind of how we live our lives. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to make a bunch of money. Goes on in verse 14. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. The Bible says, don't boast about tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't. You think you do, but you don't. But God does. God does. It goes on and says, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. You're just here for a little bit and then your life is over. Verse 15, instead, you ought to say, this is what we need to say, if it is the Lord's will. If it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. What James is saying here is the mature person makes their plans flexible. And some of us, we make plans and anything goes wrong, I mean, we go bonkers. I mean, we fall apart, we get ulcers over things. We can make plans. But we need to live with the realization that God ultimately calls the shots. So if the wrong attitude is presumption, then what's the right attitude? The right attitude is cooperation. Cooperation. We need to cooperate with God. We need to cooperate with what God is doing, with His plan. We need to cooperate with His will for our lives. In other words, we include God in our goal setting. Do you do that? How do you do it? You pray. We pray. Planning without prayer is presumption. And instead of saying, God, I want you to bless what I'm doing, which is what a lot of us tend to do, when you say, God, what are you doing? We need to look around, see where God is at work, see what God is blessing, and say, God, I want to join, I want to be a part, I want to cooperate with what you're doing, with what you're blessing. Big difference saying, God, bless what I'm doing, and saying, God, what are you blessing? And I want to be a part of that. God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want your will for my life. I want your plan to be lived out in my life. And when we begin to live that way, when we begin to live praying about our plans, asking God for wisdom, man, life is just so much simpler. You know, God, I have these plans, I've got these appointments, these projects, but God, more than anything, I want to be open to what you want to do in my life today. When we come to God in that way, it just makes life simpler. And when there are interruptions in life, we realize it's okay. God is in control. It dramatically lowers the stress and the frustration in our lives when we realize it's not all up to me. God is in control. You see, even when things are out of our control, they are not out of God's control. So let me ask you, do you include God in your plans? And do you really? Which of these two words best describes you? Presumption or cooperation? Which is it? You see, a lot of us, even as Christians, we actually live as practical atheists. We claim to believe in God, but we live as though God is not in control. And the reality is that's why we have so many frustrations in life, because we live trying to do everything we can to control everything when we can't. God's the one that's in control. So because God is sovereign, my plans have a limit. And number three, because God is sovereign, my problems have a purpose. Because God is sovereign, because he is in control, even my problems, even your problems, have a purpose. You see, because of Paul's imprisonment, because of him being shipwrecked, 276 individuals on this ship discovered and got to know and hear about this amazing God. And then they end up for 3 months on this island that they're shipwrecked on. And God does, you read the account, God does just some amazing, powerful things on that island that wouldn't have happened if there hadn't been this whole shipwreck thing. And then ultimately they end up in Rome. And look at what happens there. In the next chapter of Acts 28, in verse 30, on down a little ways, Paul is under house arrest in Rome, and it says this: for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in Rome. He stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to him. He proclaimed, look at this, verse 31, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. You see, life isn't a series of random events that happen all over the place with no meaning. You know, this happens and that happens and, you know, so what? You see, if you're God's child, if you're a follower of Jesus, nothing can come into your life. Get this. Nothing can come into your life without God's permission. There's a card that I have in my office I've had for years to remind me of this truth. Just a simple card. This is what it says. I want to throw this up on the screen for you to see. Nothing touches me that is not passed through the hands of my Heavenly Father. Nothing. And it goes on, everything I endure is designed to prepare me for serving others more effectively. Everything. Nothing touches me that is not passed through the hands of my Heavenly Father. Nothing. Everything I endure is designed to prepare me for serving others more effectively. Everything. Now, please, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that God causes everything. He doesn't. He doesn't cause sin. He doesn't cause all your problems. He doesn't need to. I mean, we cause enough problems for ourselves. Other people cause problems in our life. What I'm saying is this, though. God allows, or he permits problems. And then he uses them for a greater purpose. That's what Scripture teaches. God is a pro at turning bad things, messy things, into good things. He's a pro at turning negatives into positive. He's the expert at taking problems and bringing a greater purpose out of them. And you go, well, but you know, you can't really unscramble an egg. Yeah, but you can turn it into an omelet. And that's in essence what God does. You see, God could take all the problems out of the world. It really wouldn't be that hard. But if he did, he would have to take you and me out of the world because you're somebody's problem. And so am I. You see, God could have made us robots that were like pre-programmed to always do the right thing. But because God wanted us to love him, he gave us the option not to. With the option of not loving God came the option of disobeying God, of not following the ways of God. When we don't follow God's ways, his truths, his principles for life, what that leads to is problems and hurt and pain and consequences in the world. It's just inherent in the freedom of choice. But whether we bring the problems on ourselves or the problems come into our lives as a result of circumstances that we have no control of whatsoever, God can still, he is still able to bring good out of those problems, out of those situations. You see, God could have kept the Apostle Paul from being imprisoned. He could have kept him from experiencing this shipwreck, but God allowed the shipwreck so that this life-transforming message would continue to spread and would ultimately spread to Rome and even beyond Rome. God could have kept his son, his own son Jesus, from dying this horrible death on the cross, but he allowed the crucifixion of Jesus so that there could be a resurrection, and so we could experience forgiveness, so we could have a relationship with God, so we could experience eternal life. So don't blame God for all the pain and all the hurt in the world. God doesn't cause evil, but he allows it, and then he brings it into focus for a greater purpose. There's an incredible example of this in Scripture in the Old Testament. You even remember the account of a guy by the name of Job. Job is one of the wealthiest men of his time. And then overnight, boom, like that, he loses everything that he has. All of his wealth, like he goes bankrupt and loses it all. Not only does he lose all the wealth that he has, but he loses his whole family, all of his kids, virtually overnight. The only thing that he's left with is a nagging wife. I mean, you look at the account. I mean, this is a tough deal. I mean, poor guy. He's miserable. And then he gets this terrible disease. He's in pain. He's in anguish. And yet when you look at the account, all these things that Satan brought on his life, none of them were done without God's permission. In order to bring anything into Job's life, Satan had to get permission from God. God can't touch your life without God's permission. Because God is in control. Now, let's just say if you lost everything in your life, what do you think your response might be to that? Things are totally out of control. You lose it all. Look at Job's response in Job chapter 1, verse 21. He says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Job says, "Say, everything I have came from God. He gave it all to me. He can take it all away. It's his right, because I wouldn't have anything if it weren't for God." If you know that the end of the story, you know that God ultimately, though, he restored everything to Job's life. In fact, he gave him twice as much as it ever had. But the point is this. The point is that God is in control and that nothing can come into your life without God's permission. And if God chooses to turn off a faucet over here, he can turn on another faucet over here. You lose a job over here, God can give you another job over here because God is in control. The reality is some of you may be going through a hardship, a difficulty right now in your life. Maybe there's some people who are doing things to you. They mean it for harm. They mean it for bad in your life. But God means it for good. So if my problems have a purpose, then what should my response be? My response should be to look past the pain, to look past the pain and try to find God's purpose behind the pain. I need to look past the pain and try to find God's purpose behind the pain. Now, there are some things, man, we're probably never going to know why they happen. You know, why did this person die? Why did they die at this time? I don't know. I really don't. I mean, everybody dies, and we're all eventually going to die unless Jesus comes back before. But I don't know. I don't know. But what I do know is that God is sovereign. God is in control, and He is a good God, and He wants what's best for us. And we may look at things, and you may look at a situation and go, man, I just don't see, I don't understand how this could be what's best. I get that. I really do. I don't know how that could be best. But I'm not God, and neither are you. So you look past the pain, you try to find God's purpose behind the pain. And you allow God to grow us and to develop and to use us to help others grow. I want you to look at this next scripture, because this scripture that we're going to look at, this could change your life and your outlook and your approach to so many things. Look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We're going to put it on the screen. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." And then look at this in verse 4. "Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." God, get this, God comforts us so that then we in turn can turn around and comfort those around us. God doesn't want us to waste a hurt. He doesn't want us to waste the hurts, the troubles, the problems that we go through. He wants us to use those to help and encourage others. So instead of having a pity party, why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this? And I don't, with that, I really don't mean to minimize the fact that sometimes we go through things and there's going to be a grieving that we go through, and that's helpful. That's healthy to go through that. But ultimately, we need to get to the place in our life where we say, God, not why, but God, what? What are you wanting to teach me in this situation? And maybe we won't figure out the purpose behind it at that point. Maybe we won't figure out the purpose behind what's happening until way on down the line. Maybe we won't ever figure out the purpose until someday we get to heaven. And maybe God just wants to teach us to trust Him. Maybe He just wants to teach us to trust that He is sovereign, to trust that He is in control of everything. So what am I saying? What am I trying to say? We're gonna pray here in just a moment. We're coming in for landing. We're wrapping up. What I'm trying to say is that even when things are out of my control, they're not out of God's control. Even when things are outside of my control, they're beyond my control, they're beyond your control, they are not outside, they are not beyond God's control. So when you find yourself this week worried, sick, because things are falling apart, you don't understand what's going on in your life, and you may be freaking out because things are spiraling out of control and you're in a panic, here's what I want to encourage you to do. I mean, you try this. In the midst of the chaos that you find yourself in, maybe right now, maybe the chaos will come into your life this week, stop. Just pause and remind yourself and say, God is in control. Remind yourself. You may even say that aloud to yourself in your car or in your office or in your home. Just say, man, everything is chaos. I don't understand what's going on. God, I'm honest. I am freaking out about what's going on. But God, I know that you are in control. I know you're in control. When you read the headlines and everything in the world looks like it's in chaos, remind yourself God is in control. The most intelligent, the most rational thing that we can do is live our lives realizing and saying, God, you are sovereign. And God, I realize that you have every right to call the shots in my life because I wouldn't even be here if it weren't for you. And so God, what I want to do is I want to live my life cooperating with you, with what you're doing in the world. You begin to trust God. You're faithful to do the next right thing that you know that God wants you to do. You may not understand everything. Things may be out of control, but you trust God and you're faithful to continue following Jesus a step at a time. And you know what's going to happen? You are going to find yourself experiencing the peace and this inner deep soul rest that you so long for. Because you are trusting the God who is sovereign, the God who is in control, and you are cooperating with Him instead of fighting up against Him. And you will find yourself being able to relax, knowing, hey, it's not all up to me. I can do the next thing that I can do, but ultimately I know that God is in control, and I'm going to trust Him. And that is what God invites you into, and that's what I invite you into today. Would you bow your heads with me? God is sovereign. He is. Whether you like that or not, whether you want to admit that or not, He is sovereign. He's in control of everything. He made you. He knew when and where you were going to be born. He knows how long you're going to live, and He loves you. But He doesn't beat you over the head with His sovereignty. What some of you need to do is you need to talk to Him right now. You need to pray to Him. You need to say, God, I've been presumptuous. God, I've been trying to call the shots in my life. God, I've been making plans without consulting you. God, I don't want to do that anymore. God, I want to cooperate with you. I want to be a part of what you're blessing. God, I want your will for my life. God, help me to see your purpose behind the pain, behind the troubles I'm going through in my life. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you've never opened your life up to Him, you need to. Right where you are, why don't you say in your heart, God, I want you to call the shots in my life. I realize that Jesus died on the cross for me. I know I've done things that are wrong. I've been presumptuous. I've tried to handle things on my own. God, forgive me. Starting today, I want to follow Jesus in my life. God, thank you for being a sovereign God, a God who is in control. God, thank you for the comfort that comes from knowing that in the midst of the chaos, you're in control. In the midst of all the things that are beyond our control that we don't understand, God, you're still at work in ways that we don't always see, we don't always understand. God, thank you that we can relax knowing that you are sovereign. God, thank you for the comfort of knowing that nothing can touch us without it going through your hands first. God, may we live our lives surrendered to you, allowing you to control our lives, cooperating with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.